In religious community, we share our joys and our triumphs, our sorrows and our broken places. In this circle of care, we make space for the complexity of life, the myriad experiences that bless and break our hearts, the truth of human experience dictates that on any given day, we each come to the table with hearts in different places. It is especially so on this day, invented to honor women who nurture. In this circle of care, we honor the truth that mothering is not and never will be quantified in one single descriptor. Mothering can be elusive or infuriating, fulfilling or confusing, commonplace or triumphant. It exists in the everyday experiences of each person. There is no human being that is not connected or disconnected from a mother. And so we honor the complexity of experience writ large in flowered platitudes, but here in this space laid bare, honoring the truth in each of our hearts. There is room for all in this circle. If you have carried a child or children, whether or not they came to be born, we see you. If you have fervently wished to do so, and circumstances of fate made it impossible, we see you. If you love children, we cannot see, whether because of death or estrangement, we see you. If you never wanted to be a mother, we see you. If you are happy to mother other people's children, as an educator, an auntie, or a foster parent, we see you. If your mother hurt you physically or emotionally, we see you. If you had no mother at all, we see you. If your mother is or was your best friend, we see you. If your gender says you are not a mother, and yet you take on the role of nurturer, we see you. If you wonder whether your mothering has been enough, we see you. And if yours is a different truth altogether, we honor your unspoken story. There is room for all in this circle. May it be so today and always.
The year 2021 marks three significant anniversaries for me. Two of them have been celebratory. In mid-March, I toasted 25 healthy years post-cancer surgery. And 20 years ago, last month, I moved into my dear little home on Pearl Street. Every day, I feel gratitude for my privilege and my great good luck to have a safe, comfortable nest that has given me shelter from COVID. The third anniversary is a very poignant one. On May the 25th, 1971, my mother succumbed to cancer, and Mother's Day 50 years ago, of which you saw a photo, 2 weeks before her death, was full of foreboding and forced smiles. Other than the well-documented and natural sense of grief that accompanies such a loss, there have been two lingering impressions that have been deeply stored in my memory from the days following her passing. The first comes in the form of a condolence. At Mom's funeral, one of our close neighbors gave me a hug and said, "Well, Heather, at least when your mother died, she was loved." I didn't quite know where to put that thought. Although I knew it was kindly meant, it seemed such an obvious reality. Of course she was loved, which made her loss all the more painful. But now, with the gift of hindsight and life experience, I've come to understand the depth of those words. I can recognize my good fortune in having grown up being surrounded by love and such a sense of fondness in my home. Daily, we see evidence of its absence, both on a personal level and a societal one. My mother was loved, and on this day especially, I remember that. For my second life lesson around her death, I need to rewind her story by about a year and a half. In January 1970, Mom had a polyp removed from her colon. In those days, one's health seemed to be a rather private affair, and not much was said about it. 6 months later, I remember taking her into Sudbury for a follow-up appointment. I presumed that this was simply confirmation that everything had healed as it should. The Morrisons then proceeded to embark on the most remarkable and memorable road trip. Little did I know it was to be our last family vacation. The following January, Mom started experiencing severe pain, erroneously thought to be gallbladder issues. Because of a hospital bed shortage in Sudbury, she had to wait over 3 months to be admitted. As an aside, my heart aches these days when hearing about all hospital procedures taking their place in a long line behind COVID emergencies. These waits are agonizing. The day before her operation, a call came from her surgeon. He didn't like what he saw in the tests. I will never forget the shock my father and I absorbed with her terminal cancer diagnosis. The question that haunted me for some time after her death was how she lived for over a year, keeping her own counsel, not sharing her anxiety, presumably to avoid needlessly burdening her husband and her then 16-year-old daughter. It has been suggested to me that perhaps she was unaware of her own condition. Doctors didn't always share results. That seems incredible to me now, but I will never know those facts. I happened upon a poem by Edna St. Vincent Millay that reflects so much. It's called "The Courage That My Mother Had." The courage that my mother had went with her and is with her still. Rock from New England quarried, now granite in a granite hill. The golden brooch my mother wore, she left behind for me to wear. I have no thing I treasure more, yet it is something I could spare. Oh, if instead she'd left to me the thing she took into the grave, that courage like a rock, which she has no more need of, and I have. I'd like now to turn away from memories of losing a mother to thoughts of a mother losing a child. The histories of music, visual art, and literature have dealt with the archetype of the grieving mother for hundreds of years. Composers from the 13th through the 20th centuries have created settings of the Stabat Mater, a depiction of Mary's grief standing by the cross. Paintings of Mary often portray her with an expression of foreboding, somehow carrying the foreknowledge of her son's fate. Now comes a 90-degree pivot in my talk, a shift of gears from the composer Pergolesi to Potter, Harry Potter. The experience I'll relate just happened a few days ago, and it feels relevant. In an attempt to keep me current after my retirement, a friend gifted me with the complete set of Harry Potter, 7 volumes of skillfully written fantasy. My reading marathon just concluded last week. There are 2 significant mothers in the story. Lily Potter, who sacrificed her life saving her infant son, her only child, Harry. And Molly Weasley, mother of many young Weasleys who are Harry's best friends. Molly is consistently depicted as a rather mild-mannered, nurturing character. But in the final climax of the series, when she takes on her nemesis, she screams at her evil opponent with these deliberately spaced words. "You will never touch our children again." I noted that the author also reserves the only swear word in the entire 7 volumes, which is over 1 million words, to Mrs. Weasley as she reacts to the mortal threat to her daughter. For me, her oath jumped out of the text and might have risked the censure of the editors, but it remained. The love of the 2 mothers is fierce and compelling. We in our beloved fellowship have over time embraced several mothers who have endured the unimaginable pain of losing a child. I'd like to take a moment now on Mother's Day 2021 to remember 3 women who, in their turn, absorbed this grief and did so with such grace. The late Lynn Pillepew, who lost 2 sons. My aunt, Jean Morrison, whose daughter Peggy predeceased her by 3 years. And most recently, our Susan Tiura, who stood by her son Camden through his long and agonizing battle with brain cancer. From my mother's quiet courage to Susan's grace in carrying the weight of the inevitable on her shoulders, I'd like to turn now to a wonderful song written and performed by Kim Erickson, called Woman of Valor. Her lyrics have transformed personal experiences into a universal. With Kim's permission, I'd like to share her musings on the inspiration for this song. And I quote, "In addition to large events of life, there are so many everyday ways that women quietly show their valor and courage. Holding together families, communities, and many things that improve life for others. Their daily bread. I think the song relates to all that." Over to you, David, with Woman of Valor with Kim Erickson. Thank you.
Thank you. nobody's darling. She is nobody's pet. The woman of valor doesn't harbor regret. More precious than jewels, loved ones hold her in trust. The woman of valor follows through, and she must. Like the ships of the merchant, she brings food from away, food for the spirit, and hope for each day. In all that she sees, she walks in her power. She laughs at the time that will come, that will come, that will come, that will come to be. She sings on the mountain and enjoys her domain. Oh, give her in plenty of the fruit of her hands, and let her workers praise her in the gates of all lands. She's a valorous woman and as faithful as Ruth. A garment is wisdom, a mantle is truth, a banner is justice. For the hours for one, she dances in freedom. She laughs at the time that will come, that will come, that will come. She dances in freedom. She laughs at the time that will come, that will come, that will come, that will surely come, come to be.
Thank you so much, Heather. Heidi, are you ready after that?
Yes. Thank you so much, Heather. That was so moving. Oh my God. And a beautiful, beautiful song. My sister Natalie and I grew up in a very close-knit family, witnessing our parents going out of their way to help out by giving rides, lending money, or offering any other kind of support or assistance. As we grew older and became parents ourselves, Mom and Dad would often drop by unannounced to pick up a kid or two on an outing, and they also took our kids on various planned trips. My parents have always been people with whom it is enjoyable to spend time. Whenever any of us dropped in unannounced, they were always so pleased to receive us. So as our parents started to age and need help, we realized it was our time to reciprocate the loving care our parents always showed us. Because my sister and I have worked in various fields of healthcare, we have been able to help our parents navigate the healthcare system and advocate for them. When my dad first became sick, we accompanied him to every appointment and decided we would be with him every step of his cancer journey. We even called it an adventure. I do not regret one moment of time spent with my dad in his last 6 months of life. Time we spent enjoying each other's company and keeping each other's spirits up, strengthening each other to face the unknown yet inevitable future with courage and grace. I need to acknowledge my sister here, who took the lead in Dad's care. She took time off work to care for him and coordinate the excellent care the nursing staff from St. Elizabeth's and Bayshore provided him when he was home. Dad knew that we would take care of Mom, and this gave him peace. Caring for aging parents has been much more than helping them with health issues, though. During the first year after Dad died, we all felt dead inside. But I think my mom suffered the most. She stayed at the home they had shared for over 40 years. We brought her meals, took her out on drives, went for walks, and tried to keep her spirits up while we all grieved. But it was a difficult time for all of us. Once during this time, my sister and I took Mom to Sault Ste. Marie for 3 days. We stayed at the Water Tower Inn with a lovely pool and outdoor hot tub and walked around their wonderful marina park. This time together helped us all heal a little bit. My mom decided to move to McKellar Senior Apartments at the beginning of March last year. She participated in all the social activities, joined in meals in the dining room, and began to make friends with the other tenants. Unfortunately, when COVID-19 hit shortly after, restrictions were put into place and Mom was once again isolated. Because Natalie and I are Mom's caregivers, we are in our own bubble. So we were allowed into her building. We are so fortunate that we have been able to continue seeing Mom. I know many other people have not been so lucky. We help her with extra household chores, such as making her bed and laundry, picking up a few grocery items, and fixing technical glitches with her TV and microwave. We set up a Facebook account for her and check it out when we are over. As Mom's powers of attorney for financial and personal issues, we help keep her finances and medication organized. We try to be as accountable and as transparent as we can be. We finally completed the onerous chore of cleaning out our parents' home. This has taken almost a year, but it's been a labor of love. Through this time, Natalie and I have bonded and learned that she is more pragmatic and I am more idealistic. And through this process, we were able to decide what to keep and what to discard. We also learned a lot about our parents. Whatever the process, I am most fortunate because I do not have to do it alone. My sister and I have become a good team. Time spent with my mom is a precious commodity. And whether we are having tea at her home, walking in the park, or simply waiting with her for an appointment, we are creating lasting and loving memories. Time well spent. Thank you.
Thank you. That was beautiful. I have a great mother. Eva Campbell is a breath of fresh air. Forever the optimist, she's smiling, complimenting, expressing her gratitude, and her soul radiates outside of her body. She's 91 years old, and I know I am biased about her, but anyone that meets her tells me that she just emanates love. To this day, my mom doesn't criticize me. She gives her opinion when I ask her for it. She's respectful and encouraging. Always tells me how proud she is of how I give to others in my own unique way. She's still mothering me, shaping me with love. I'm very grateful to have had two parents that modeled to me what it means to nurture and to live a life of love. And I thank my mom. She grew up in a big family. She had six kids of her own And when she was giving birth to the sixth one, they discovered that she had cancer, and she had been going through lupus. She had several operations, which 55 years ago would have been made much simpler by the technology that we have today. So I watched her as I grew up, and I missed her when she went away to the Mayo Clinic for 6 weeks at a time. And the six of us had to go to different families and see how other families functioned. And I realized when my mom came home, just how special it is to be a part of the knitted family that we had created together, the eight of us. I loved being a mother. There were challenging times for all of us, the parents and the children. I have two children. There were times when my husband and I questioned ourselves about our decisions, the choices that we were giving our children, and the opportunities that we were not. And sometimes rewards didn't show up till much, much later. When a child would come up to me and hug me from behind, and I'd ask, "What's this for?" And they'd say, "Thank you for giving me music," or "Thank you for saving me from that situation," or it was just a random hug. Occasionally things would backfire in my motherhood when I asked too many questions or offered too many suggestions. My child would say, "You can stop mothering me anytime, Mom." No, not really. It's not that easy. I'm not done mothering or nurturing. So that was a hard time leading to an empty nest, because I missed loving my grown children in the familiar ways I had. I enjoy when children ask me questions about my own life and growing up in a different time than them, sharing the stories of my parents and my grandparents with the next generations. I loved singing with them and hearing them make music, watching them grow, their friendships, sharing their friendships, and in sports and community groups. Maybe you're like me, and once my children had children of their own, even though we're doing it over FaceTime now, we look into each other's eyes, and I can feel their eyes looking right into my soul. And they're smiling because they get it. They understand that parenting is this huge gift. And it comes with the sorrows and responsibilities and the joys and the challenges. They all get woven together in the fabric of our lives. But that's when I really started to vibrate differently with my children. Once they had children, they sort of appreciated some of the reasons why I made the choices I made. Which brings me to grandmothering. That's an extension of motherhood with fewer responsibilities and decisions to make, but all the pleasures tenfold of watching them learn to babble and play jokes on me, read to me, just watching each other grow together. This pandemic has taken us to a different place, and we have to be resourceful in the way that we express our love for one another. And it's so nice to send each other little parcels and things. Becoming a grandparent just pumped up my love vessels like hot air balloons. I realize I'm quite fortunate at this time because there are four living generations and I'm in the middle. How could I possibly show the love and nurture my family when we're all in lockdown halfway around the world? Well, my daughter Jennifer in England invited me to teach her children, ages 6 and 9, music over FaceTime. That is really a challenge, but I took it on and it's been very rewarding. Now, out of the blue, my grandsons will call me. And here's a picture of my eldest. This is a big pillow I get to hug. They sent this to me. And Sullivan, he's 9. He just had his birthday 2 days ago. And there's Hudson, he's 5. And so they can't be with me, but they are with me. So we put these pillows at the table and we have meals with them. We made a birthday cake and sang it and sent the video over to Sullivan. So you have to be creative in lockdown. I mean, it's a time of isolation and it hurts. It really hurts. But we're all having to be creative. And sometimes they'll call me out of the blue on face. They got a hold of the iPad and, Grandma, let's play Battleship. Or look at my drawings. I'm going to be an engineer. And this grandmothering thing is really grand, even if it's halfway around the world and I haven't seen them for a year and a half. And my son Trevor and his wife out in Vancouver just had a baby girl 3 months ago. I haven't met Emma, but I get to see her on FaceTime and watch her learn to roll over. And parenting, grandparenting, being able to sit with my mom, although I have to wear a mask when I'm visiting with my mom now, we can watch them in live time, her great-grandchildren growing up. So I'm just so happy that there's someone new to love, and I've yet to meet her, but I'm really looking forward to the day I can go out and meet Emma. So now the circle of life has truly come full circle. Now, who am I going to love? Because they're all so far away. I have my parents. My father has passed away, but I have my mom and my mother-in-law. And as you just heard, my father-in-law, Bud Potts, he just passed away last week. And I had a seriously amazing moment, amazing evening, amazing night with him the night before he went to Emerge. He asked me if I'd stay over. I came back after supper, and he has helpers, but I came back and I rubbed his feet and I rubbed his back and his legs and brought him drinks, and he was having trouble breathing and had trouble falling asleep. So in the night, he decided he wanted to sit up in the chair, and I brought him out into the living room and I asked him, did you want to watch TV? And he said, no, I want to talk. Wow, this is a guy who he'd stop in the mid-sentence, conk out, get his breath, come back up, and talk some more. We talked about what he's happy about in his life, about times at the cottage. We talked about his children and his grandchildren and some pretty seriously interesting things about what I might find when I go through his belongings. So it was just the best talk. And then he spoke about his relationship with his wife of 70 years, who had just been taken into long-term care 6 weeks earlier, and about how he missed her and how their togetherness was a huge void now. So I felt that his trust in me and my respect for him and our commitment to each other, and me saying, I'll do everything I can to help make your final chapters dignified, although we were not allowed into the hospital until the final moments. So that was a little difficult for my husband, because Bud is his best friend. So nurturing others comes in so many different forms and so many different stages of our life. I'm so lucky and I'm so fortunate. And I've just reached out to all my siblings and told them it's unconditional. I just love you so much. I can't wait till we get together again. And births, deaths, it's all happening right now in our world, in our family. And I'm so lucky. So Mother's Day means so many things. It's love. And I think about my dad a lot, because he showed me what a loving partner could be, and I'm so fortunate I have one. So I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. I just would like to say that I wrote a song. Oh no, I have to show you this. My grandson sent Grandpa Bud hugs. It's on a ribbon, and they were hugging him the whole time he was in hospital. And the nurses made sure that every time they rolled him over, they put the hugs back on him. And my niece is an opera singer, and she sang Abide With Me, and we put the phone by his ear. Love, that's all mothers nurturing is love. And so I've experienced so much lately, I'm just vibrating. I'm sure that he felt the love. And now my mother, age 91, and my mother-in-law, age 90, are receiving my love in new and creative ways throughout this pandemic. As one of their two assigned caregivers, I am fortunate I can go and be with them at this time and bring them comfort. And I can't remove their pain or grief. As you can imagine, someone with dementia is going through grief right now and doesn't understand if he's alive or not alive from moment to moment. So it's been tricky for my husband and I, but what a joy, because we can laugh together and we can love each other from a distance even. My siblings are able to Zoom or FaceTime my mom. They send jokes, videos, emails, phone calls. We just poke fun at ourselves. And when I sit with my mom, we play games and have heart-to-heart talks about what really, truly matters. We're stronger together, nurturing one another, lifting each other up. So here's to those who nurture us, allow us to shower them with love, openly, freely, unconditionally, so that our circle of love is complete. My mantra through all this is, we do what we can, when we can, how we can. And that's love. Back in 2008, I wrote a song, and when I sang it to my mother, she had tears and said, I want you to sing this at my memorial service. That was not what I expected her to say, but I could see why. It's a song of appreciation, and some have heard it and thought it may be to a universal source. Others have heard it and thought that it is to all those who are important in our lives, who have shared moments of loving with us. And to me, it's all about love, and you can decide what you hear in it. So today I dedicate this song to my mother, Eva Campbell. You were with me every step of the way. Thank you.
I was laughing and you were with me. I was crying and you were with me. I was silent and you were with me. You were with me every step of the way. I was weary and you me. I was hungry and you were with me. I was excited and you were with me. You were with me every step of the way. When I needed a push, you pushed me slowly. You pushed me firmly with care. And when I needed to be held, you held me gently. So gently in the arms of your love, you were there. I was right and you were with me. I was so wrong, and you were with me. I was humbled that you were with me. You were with me every step of the way. I was frightened, and you were with me. I was daring, and step of the way. When I needed a push, you pushed me slowly. You pushed me firmly with care. And when I needed to be held, you held me gently. So gently in the arms of your me. You were with me every step of the way. You were with me every step of the way. Every step of the way.